I'm all for we need to walk and chew gum at the same time. So I think we need to fight in the legislature to do what we can. But the best thing we can do is everyone teach their kids, and then they teach their kids. It's a generational fight. So the best thing we can do is raise our kids so they believe in liberty and pursuing happiness and the American spirit, keeping that alive and well. That's why I always tell people, even more important than the election, keep being free and living that life.
Welcome back to the Interview Podcast from Milbank, South Dakota. This is Craig Weinberg. TheInterviewPodcast.org is our website where you can find all the conversations that we've had and where you can help support the show. We are solely funded by Value for Value, which really is, we create content, put it out to you. If you get value out of them, you decide what that value is. Click on the support button at our website and send it back our way. Turn that right into dollars so we can continue having these conversations. This may be the last of our political conversations. It just came up today. Today being June 3rd, 2024. Tomorrow is primary election day in South Dakota. District 4 has four candidates vying for two seats in the House of Representatives on the Republican ticket. Because there are no Democrats running, whoever wins tomorrow is the winner in November. Dylan Jordan stopped by. He actually knocked on my door at my house today, out beating the pavement. And I was impressed by his willingness to get out there and meet people, shake people's hands, and encourage them to do some research and then vote their conscience. So Dylan Jordan is here. Hope this is insightful for you and helps you get informed a little bit about how to vote tomorrow, June 4, for District 4, House of Representatives. Tried to get the rest of them on, but it just didn't work out. Let's jump right into it with Dylan. Thanks for listening. The primary is tomorrow.
Yep.
And you knocked on my door.
Yeah, I did.
Just a couple of hours ago. After we met on, was it Thursday or Friday?
Thursday.
Thursday, yep. Yeah, you were in town at a meet and greet.
Yep.
With
at the bank.
Fred, at the bank, the coffee shop bank, not the money
yep.
bank. Although some would call it the same thing.
Yep.
It's possible.
Yep.
There's four seats. No, there are four people running for two seats in the primary for District 4 in the House. Now, the last two episodes of this podcast, we had both candidates running for the Senate for one seat. And again, this is all on the Republican side because there are no Democrats running.
Yep, that is correct.
So you are one of the four Republicans duking it out for the two seats.
Yep.
To represent District 4. Dylan, why are you in this race?
The reason I'm in this race is because I've seen through various examples, especially it clicked during COVID. South Dakota is not as red and free as we're saying it is. So I am running to protect our way of life and to keep it so South Dakota, we can keep living the life the devil wants to cancel here in South Dakota.
So it's not as red and free as we are told? What does that mean?
Yep. If you watch the mainstream media and Fox News and stuff, you'll see that we stayed open during COVID, which is true for the most part, but some cities did have curfews and some did that. We did all that. A lot of employers were allowed to require you to take an experimental drug and many things like that. They in the last legislative session, they passed 201, which gave away local control for pipelines. And that will open the gates for many other bills to come. There's many other bills. Up until last year, the year before, it was legal to have gender mutilation surgery for minors in South Dakota. So there's a lot of
things. Is that just because it had never been talked about before? Like, this is the first time it's being talked about?
Nope, almost the same bill got introduced like 5 years ago and got shot down. And because of the public speaking of it, it passed last year, the year before.
So prior to that, it was the sentiment in the legislature was nope, we're good to go. Keep it as is.
Yep.
And then the change was just the public outcry?
Yep.
To ban it?
Yep, for minors.
Okay. And you are you on board with that decision?
Yep.
Is that a government control? Is that a government control step?
I feel for minors, no, it's not, because there's a lot of laws for minors that are not for adults, and that would be classified under child abuse. So we already have precedents and laws in place to protect minors from other things. I think gender mutilation would be on the top of that list. You can't have your kids stay at home alone if they're under 12, but you could give them hormones for them to not have puberty. So I think that's comparing apples and oranges. So I don't think it is the government imposing.
Shouldn't medical decisions be... Shouldn't government have absolutely no say in medical decisions with children?
I agree with that for the most part, but I think gender mutilation is one example we should not be allowing that.
Who defines it as that? Now, I mean, obviously, I know the politicians do, but going back to the freedom question, you know, is South Dakota freer or redder than, or is it as free as we claim? If we're going to go down the road as having the legislature determine legally that a family can't do something with their children medically with a doctor in the room, is that the proper role of government?
Well, in South Dakota, you're required to give your kids all sorts of vaccines and stuff, but then they can also say you can make it so they cannot have... not go through puberty and then not be able to have kids. There have been multiple studies that prove that it actually makes the suicide rate worse among people that suffer from transgenderism.
Oh, okay. So,
and all that stuff. So I feel with it being minors, that's why the bill was only for minors.
Okay. So the reason, because it's for minors, it's an acceptable position for the government to step in and say, no, parent, you're not allowed to do that with your kid because the kid's a minor.
Yep. For this specific instance, yeah.
Does that open the door for other issues?
Well, right now we already have it where your kid can't stay home alone if they're under 12. So I think they're already, so it's not opening the door. There's already various laws protecting children.
So the precedent already exists.
Yeah.
This is just another defining point.
Yeah.
Okay. South Dakota is primarily Republican in its legislature.
Yep.
What are there, like 12 Democrats, I think?
Yep, 12 or 16, something like that, that ballpark.
So why is there this fight for these two seats right now? And it's pretty impressive. I mean, the stuff that I get in the mail, you know, get mailers and flyers. Yesterday we got one. It sounded just like what you would see from a very fringe organization calling out somebody, that Vanessa, what's her last name?
Napkin.
She's one of the other four.
Yep.
Or the other three.
And I encourage everyone to vote for her. And myself.
So Dylan and Vanessa were together when I met them both last week. But basically it's Vanessa is a liberal, Lori Lightfoot loving, Rahm Emanuel loving Chicago native trying to turn South Dakota into Chicago.
That's what the ad says, yes.
And I met her, talked to her. It would be difficult, if you're honest, to try to lump her, based on what she told me, in with Lori Lightfoot.
Yep.
So who in the world is putting out stuff that is either they're just ignorant and don't know, they've never met these people,
mm-hmm.
or it is a blatant lie?
It's a blatant lie.
Who's running this? Where's the money coming from?
If you look at the PACs, I forget, it's like one's like Defend South Dakota, one's South Dakota. There's a couple different ones. I may be misquoting them because there's been like three organizations doing it. If you look on the Secretary of State's website and then look under federally, I've talked with people that looked into it. There are many groups donating to these PACs, and these PACs don't really stand for anything. They just go with whoever gives them the most money. Vanessa Napkin was born in Chicago, and her parents and her whole family moved to South Dakota when she was 14. So that is something she couldn't have even helped if she wanted to. I have spent a lot of time with her throughout this campaign. She is as far from a liberal as you can possibly get. But if you follow, and a lot of it comes down to the Bill 201 and the CO2 pipeline that's coming through.
So that is the main impetus for this campaign?
Yep. If you look, they've spent close to $100,000, and I heard it's like $10,000 or $12,000 in the last week in District 4 alone and attack ads for people that are against the CO2 pipeline for various reasons.
Okay, so
they're spending more money than I and Vanessa have spent on our entire campaign on attack ads, because we want private property owners to have their rights to say what goes on their land.
And you are sure that this doesn't do that? This doesn't protect private property rights?
The
201?
Yep, it makes it so bureaucrats and peer decide what you do on your land. And I'm for all about local control and private property owners deciding what goes on their land. Pipelines can move to different spots. They could move the pipeline. Oil companies do it all the time. And they're using eminent domain for private gain. And the main reason that...
That's a cute talking point.
Yeah. And the main reason it got passed is because I'm not against ethanol, but the ethanol industry is... kind of blackballing a lot of politicians to go along with the CO2 pipeline, to go along with federal regulations. But I think we can have ethanol, and ethanol is a big part of our economy. We can have that and then not go along with the Biden administration and the green agenda and all that. Because even if you follow all that, they're saying we won't have gas engines by 2030. So it's just a quick cash scheme. So no matter if you follow along with it, we're not doing it. So we might as well stand up for our rights. Constitutional rights should not be just be able to be bought. And that's my position.
I almost think the fundamental question goes back to the need for this pipeline to begin with. And in the last two conversations we had, there was, with both Senate candidates, it was long. If anyone really listened to those, they're bored out of their mind because it's beating the, we hammered that thing pretty decently.
Oh, yep.
And it's fascinating to me that two people running for the same seat on the same political party could have such differing views on this one thing. And it's also fascinating that the view against 201 that you hold, and that a couple of the others hold, is the same view that some of the liberals hold.
Yep.
Are you a closet Democrat?
Oh, no, that's only the second time I've been accused of that. And the first time was at a meet and greet in Hazel last Friday. And it was jokingly, and I literally laughed because that's the first and second time in my life I've been accused of being a Democrat. So
it's just rare that the two sides would agree on something like that.
I think a common ground we can all have, because I filled out a thing for the Milbank paper, isn't it? The Grant County
Review.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, Grant. There's been like five papers, so I apologize for that. And it said, like, how can you work together with Democrats? I think freedom is one thing everyone can come together on. At what cost? I don't think CO2 is bad for the environment, so I don't even get the point of it. They say they need it. And okay, if you need it, then can you at least respect people's rights to do it?
So, you know, the idea of freedom, it's not for freedom isn't free. I mean, that's a thing. But it would appear that freedom is secondary to the greater good by the other side of the aisle, if we're gonna call it that. So how are you able to come together on the idea of freedom?
Well, I think a lot of it is education. and we need to get work on that. When I was in high school, my history teacher tried to tell me that our founding fathers invented democracy, which is laughable. And I annoyed everyone in the class because I would not let him move on because I asked them to say the Pledge of Allegiance. It's to the Republic for which we stand. We're a representative republic. Not a thing. And he said it depends on what news channel you watch was his defense. And then he moved on and wanted to quit talking about it. So I think
so you failed the class. Good job.
I didn't fail the class, but the teacher was not a fan of me. But I think the first thing we can do is educate on what our founding principles are. America was a country based on individual rights and individual freedoms, not collective. That's a very distinct difference in why America is the way it is and why South Dakota is the way it is. And I think once we understand where we come from and get down to our principles and what that is, and then we can come together. So I think once people get educated and know why our rights are the way they are and why our Constitution, Bill of Rights, and why our government was designed the way it was designed, I think more people would be on board.
So then that brings me back to the original thinking of this pipeline. It goes down to what's the purpose of it. And if it's so awesome, you shouldn't get pushback from landowners if you're valuing the landowner.
Yep, I agree 100%.
And so from the outside, again, I'm not in any of these conversations. I've only realistically dug into this with two other people on this podcast the last two weeks.
Yep.
To kind of explore what this even is. And fundamentally, for me, it goes back to what's the purpose of it to begin with? Because the bill that supposedly creates a Bill of Rights for landowners, but I think it's fascinating
it's
that the clause in there specifically says, if you are a landowner who is granting an easement for a carbon pipeline, you can get these rights. So it's very clear in the language of the bill that this is only for the people that are granting an easement for this one specific product.
Yep, all the money.
That by omission removes anyone's ability to say no.
Yep.
Is what it looks like to me. And that's what I would like to know. Does this bill remove a landowner's ability to say, I'm not going to grant an easement?
Yep.
So they're not allowed to not grant an easement now?
It's basically, from what I've understood of it, is bureaucrats in peer and the biggest corporation that has the most money, they can do what they want with your land now. Because they can say it's for the public good because they'll bring money in. And that's, I think, our constitutional rights should not be bought.
So could we have that same thinking for the interstate system? Like taking land for the interstate system?
The interstate system and highway system, that is actually for the public good. And I also think they should be careful and not just steal everyone's land. They can work the highway around it because it isn't exact. I think there's ways where the roads were designed that I don't know how much of eminent domain they had to use for them, but eminent domain is meant for public good. You can't go to the gas station and buy carbon, or there's no carbon stations. You can't go to Walmart and buy carbon. You can't go to Dollar General or the local everything. So it's specifically for the companies to make money off of it. It's not for us. And the money they say we're getting into the community is through federal subsidies, through various green projects stuff. And I don't think we need to go along with that.
So the dollars that are supposed to be being paid per linear foot of this pipeline to the landowner and the counties they're in, or to the county, and then the landowner gets a piece of that from the county, whether it's in a check or it's in a tax deduction, I don't know.
Yeah.
But what this is bill, this is law today, or it goes into effect next month. Unless it's referred.
Yep.
Which is it, 2 more weeks
of something like that.
Signature collecting?
Something like that. And I encourage everyone to sign the petition. I have myself, and I've gone to a couple rallies for it as well.
Is that not instituting straight up democracy?
Putting it on the ballot. You mean?
Yep.
I think there are some instances where that should be what happens. But not every issue, because a republic means you elect people to represent you.
Mm-hmm. And the people that were elected to represent us in this state,
yep,
for whatever reason,
yeah,
said, nope, this is what we want to do. So why? Now, it isn't the referendum at the ballot box.
What they're saying.
At the ballot box with them,
I agree with
to
that.
Put them in place or take them out.
Well, that's what tomorrow's about. So I encourage everyone to go vote tomorrow. But also,
here's the problem with this, though, with this specific race.
Yep.
The people that signed that were on board with that bill are not running for the House anymore.
Yep, they're running for the Senate.
Right.
Fred voted no.
Mm-hmm.
Souter voted yes.
Yes, correct. So they were split.
So look that up. Yep.
Right.
And now, Kent Rowe and Barbara Gannett are on board. They are for the bill 201.
But
Vanessa and I are against it. So they're people are
right.
The will of the people.
So there is a choice.
Yep.
If you want to support those that said yes to this product.
Yep.
You would go with the three.
Yep.
That said yes if you want to do the other thing. People that Fred said no, Steph said yes. You guys haven't said anything because none of you four have been in there.
Yep.
But you are on either sides of this issue. Is this the only thing that's worth talking about in this campaign?
No, I've been trying to sell the whole vision of my thing. I've been a very issues-focused campaign. So I'm all open to talk about whatever, but I think this is a polarizing issue. And like I said, industries that are involved are spending more money than our entire campaigns have on this one issue, and they waited till the last week of the election to do so.
Does that mean that it was strategic, or they just realized, holy crap, we're not going to win?
Both.
Mm.
I think it's a little bit of both. But go back, that is a very interesting point, and I like that because critical thinking is one thing we need more of. I do think, but we also have processes to keep our government in check. So we're exercising that with the referendum. I can't talk.
That's all right. You've been walking on the streets
yep.
in your worn out cowboy boots all day.
Yep. exactly.
How do you, as a newbie,
yep,
and as a young punk, mm-hmm, which you will be considered?
Oh yeah,
because you're about 14.
Yep.
Not quite. 30,
I am 30.
30, I think.
Yeah. Yep.
Almost old enough to run for president. Not nearly old enough to run for president, but almost.
Yeah.
You got like 50 more years to go. Then,
if it's like the last couple elections.
Hey, that's all we got to go off of. The last guy who ran who was really young got shot.
True story.
Won, I should say one.
Sadly.
Yeah, it's unfortunate. But how do you go in as a newbie and make a difference?
I have been pretty active since COVID. Most of the legislatures have heard from me, either through text, emails, phone calls, email, like
all
that.
Has that been two directions, or is that just the one-way conversation?
Both. Two directions. So I have friends that are in, to be perfectly transparent, I have friends that are in the Freedom Caucus, and I told them I want to join links with them. And
What does that align?
It's
like the Freedom Caucus. What is that?
You remember the Tea Party movement?
Okay.
Back in that?
Yeah.
That started the National Freedom Caucus. And 2 years ago, South Dakota started one.
Okay.
And
what's their platform?
Platform is basically pro-freedom, constitutional conservatives trying to spread liberty and bring forth liberty bills, pro-gun bills, even though we're constitutional carry, pro-First and Second Amendment, basically what my platform is.
Okay, question for you about constitutional carry.
Yep.
I just saw a little meme from the governor about that, and that how that was the first thing she did.
Okay.
Which made constitutional carry, it didn't cost you anything to get a carry license.
Yep.
How is that constitutional carry? All it did is remove the fee. You still have to go apply. You still have to put your name on a list.
You can carry it as long as, like, the building says you can't. And then I think you can in courthouses.
Anyone.
Yeah.
No matter if they have the free card or not.
Yep. From what I understand of the law, this is not legal.
No, obviously. You haven't been there from the outside. So, do you like that?
I do, yeah.
So you like the idea that anyone, no matter who, There's no barrier to entry to carry a gun in the public in South Dakota. Do you like that?
Yeah. I do.
Should there ever be a fee?
No. They have a like classes you can take where people want, you have to pay to take the classes and get the special one. That kind of makes sense.
Why?
Because the guy's taking time out of his day to teach you. So like a lot of them are private guys doing it, ex-military.
But that's to acquire a special?
Like the enhanced one for other states.
Okay, so that
But for South Dakota, I don't. In my ideal world, I am pro Second Amendment as written. So that's.
No matter. No limitations.
Yeah, personally, no. That's how I feel. But I know.
But the founders didn't even understand what a fully automatic gun would be. They never heard of an AR-15.
The founding fathers had the best technology available to them at the time. So they kind of, they understood that they could have the same stuff as the military back then.
So we cannot in America.
Yep.
Is that unconstitutional in your view?
I believe so, but I also know that that isn't necessarily going to pass, so I'm for expanding it as much as we humanly possibly can.
Okay, well, we know it's not going to pass because there's too many people that don't see it that way.
Yep.
And but a lot of people would say, oh, thank God, because then you're just going to have vigilantism running rampant in the streets.
Yeah, and they have the right to feel that way. I humbly don't agree with them, but I can see where it doesn't feel good to say it, but it's kind of freedom's freedom is my
At what way of cost? Thinking. Is there
well,
a cost
as
that,
Ben it, Franklin,
is there a cost that is too high for freedom to be allowed?
As a in this instance, as Ben Franklin once said, those who give up freedom for security will end up with and deserve neither. So that's the way I look at gun control.
So your answer is there is no line to cross. Freedom is freedom no matter what.
Yeah. That is a hard line because you probably have a scenario you'll bring up to kind of corner me on that. But ideally, that yes, that is what I think.
I had a candidate talking to me, and you can do your own research to figure out who it was. And talking about eminent domain and allowing private business to use eminent domain to take property.
Yep.
And this is going back to the freedom side of things. And my question was, so it's okay, it's not prohibited that a private entity would be able to use eminent domain. And the response was, well, it should only be used in the as a last worst case scenario.
Mm-hmm.
At the very end. I mean, that is like the last option.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think that should be the last option?
For a private company?
To use eminent domain to gain access to private property.
Yeah, it should be the last option, but I also don't think it should just be available for private gain as well.
So the private gain side of it is your delineation?
Yeah, because you mentioned highways before and people have mentioned like gas lines, it's the same as that, just we don't like what's in it. Well, we use oil and gas in our day-to-day life. You're not going to use carbon. You breathe carbon. It's in the natural environment. To capture it, that does us no good. It's just to sell carbon credits to go along with the Green New Deal and Green Agenda, and I think South Dakota should be above that.
So should it even be on the table that a private company could access eminent domain to move their product along? Should that even be an option?
No.
Would you be against having that as a last resort?
Yeah. In the situation we're talking about, yes.
Yeah.
Yep. Because there is a very limited use of eminent domain that's actually constitutional in the Constitution, but none of what's going on right now, none of that has anything to do with the Constitution. It's just a company wanted to make Green New Deal bucks off the backs of private property rights and hardworking South Dakotans.
So you will fall on the line of freedom.
Yep.
And you would be in favor of removing the possibility of ever touching eminent domain if you're a private entity wanting to use it or wanting to petition the government to use it for your product.
Yeah. Yep.
Here's a pledge form I need you to sign. No. just kidding. That was because for me, and I mentioned this too to the other candidates, private property rights are one of the most paramount, one of the most important things we have.
Yep.
If we don't have those, we have nothing.
The Declaration of Independence, the first draft of it was life, liberty, and property. But then the two colonies, I think it was Georgia and South Carolina, if I remember right, I'm not 100%, that had wanted slavery, said, no, we ain't saying that because then slaves will want property. So then they changed it to pursuit of happiness.
Happiness.
As a compromise.
Just happiness.
Yeah.
Life, liberty, and happiness.
Yeah. But the first draft was property.
Is happiness guaranteed?
No, it's not. I've always confused people at work because they're like, are you happy and all that stuff? And I'm like, I don't know if I'm happy, and I can think of 10 things that matter more in the world than if I'm happy. You got to do things that you know are good, and you'll have self-worth, and then comes from that is self-esteem. You do good things, it just works itself out. But if your main focus is just being happy, it doesn't end well.
So one of the laws that were passed this year also in South Dakota was a law to classify anti-Semitism essentially as a hate crime or do something.
Mm-hmm.
What are your thoughts on that, Bill?
Don't really get the point of that bill because I'm pro First Amendment. Let people speak, even if you don't agree with what they're saying, then you just know we'll stay away from him. He's kind of a clown. And just kind of
so it will
that.
It will fix itself. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, that's why
people say things that they shouldn't. It'll just work itself out.
Yep.
When does that become? When do words become problematic?
I think, words can be hurtful and hurt other feelings, but we also have to remember sticks and stones will break my bones, but words will never hurt you.
I didn't say hurt you. I said problematic.
Well, a lot of things.
When is it okay for a government to come in and say stop? You can't say that.
My position is I don't really think it's up to the government. I think society in general will just handle it.
So there should be, so in your thinking, there should be no government rule prohibiting the use of certain language?
No.
Ever?
No. Unless you could think of some example that I'm not thinking of, I don't see. Because even if you could say hateful things, it shows people your true character. And then you won't be popular, and then it handles itself. And then you also can show your kids, like, hey, there's Bill down the street. He's crazy. Stay away from
Bill's
house.
You, Bill.
You're not Other not Bills. You, Bill. The, right. the Bill that the lives in Bill. California that we don't even know him. But I think it just works itself out that way.
But that doesn't... It seems as though all of these laws tend to be put in place because some group felt bad.
Yeah.
And has a grievance, and they have come to the government to fix their grievance rather than potentially go fix it.
Yeah.
Is that the proper role of government?
I do not feel so, no.
So if people come to government and say, we don't, you know, people are saying these things or they're doing these things that are making us feel unsafe or uncomfortable or whatever. Government should say, bummer, figure it out.
There's a difference between being unsafe and feeling unsafe. So a lot of people,
I'll give you that. Yeah, that's fine.
Yeah.
Yeah. Let's say feeling unsafe.
First, they have to know that you understand and care about them. And then they also have to know your due laws and have laws. So. And they know that you care about them and that they're feeling validated, but we don't also need laws to make people feel better as well. I don't think that is the proper role of government. I just don't, because that just turns into a rabbit hole, and then pretty soon you have all sorts of laws, like basically we have now.
Well, you keep stacking them on top of each other, and then you end up with this fun mess, this bird's nest of cords that you have to wade through. And that's why you get these high-paid attorneys who have the time and energy to wade through them.
Yeah.
Do you have a bill in mind that you would like to bring if you get elected?
I did have a couple ideas for them, but my mind went blank on them.
That's all right.
But anything to, I'm going to go in and be like, where can I help is what they say the first year you spend learning. So I plan on doing that.
Geez, in the second year you have to do it all because you're only there twice, two years in a row. Jeez.
Exactly. But that's why I plan on, I have a couple friends that I'm going to be like, all right, what can I do? Help that. And like kind of try learn the ropes a little bit so I can hit the ground running. And whatever I can do, if that's either co-sponsor or sponsor, or whatever, possibly even right, we'll see how it goes.
What are your thoughts on removing the food grocery sales tax in South Dakota?
I hate taxes, so I'm for making taxes as low as possible. So whatever we can do to keep taxes as low as possible, I am for.
Okay.
But also, we got to realize that 60% of our budget comes from the federal government, and along of that comes strings. So we also have to be able to realize that the government, it's not the government's responsibility to help us with all of our individual needs all the time. So then eventually, I want South Dakota to become a sanctuary state for the Constitution. And so instead of immigration, the Constitution. So then we don't care what the federal government's doing.
Is that the pocket-sized version?
Yeah, exactly. But we also have to know that the more money you give the government and the more money they come back, the less money they take from you, the more money you have to help yourself. So then you don't need the government for as much. And it's just, it's going to take a while for that to happen, but that would be my ultimate goal.
Okay. So what do you say to the small municipalities who derive the bulk of their budget from sales tax revenue and may have one or two stores, grocery stores in their city limits?
Yep.
If the legislature at the state level removes that sales tax, that is a decent chunk of revenue that the cities, by none of their own doing, lose.
Yep. Well, a lot of cities have their own on there also. So I think Watertown has like 3 or 4 cents, Sioux Falls has 4 or 5 cents.
I think they all do.
Yeah.
It's usually 2 and maybe 3.
Yep.
But so you would be okay with removing the state level but allowing municipalities to keep theirs?
I'm for making taxes as low as they can be. I do not know.
Zero is the lowest they can be.
Yeah.
Or negative. Can you get paid for? No.
Ideally, if we could do that, I'd be all for it. But I also realize we have a budget and we have to do that. So we have to work towards that so we can eventually. But I do not think we are in a situation to just get rid of it completely right now. But if we could pass a plan, it's comparing it to national, so it's different. But the Rand Paul. No. Paul Ryan thing where we cut 1% each year and then eventually the balance was budgeted. South Dakota has a balanced budget.
The problem with all this political, this money speak in Congress in the D.C.
Yep.
is when they talk about cuts, they almost exclusively talk about increase.
Yeah.
Cutting the increase.
Yep.
It's always going up.
Yep.
They're just going up less. Oh, sad.
Yep. And then you have to feel sorry for them.
Right. It's smoke and mirrors for anyone to say that, look at this guy. And every president does it. They walk in there and they go, we're going to cut. Look what I did. I cut
and then
so
they
many
change
billions
the
of dollars over 10 years. But that's over 10 years of growth, the projected increase. So they're cutting 2% of the increase. That's nonsense. That is insulting to the American public.
Oh, yeah, it is. So I don't think South Dakota is in the position right now to get rid of the income tax, but ideally
No, sales tax. There's no
sales
income
tax
in the state.
We don't have income. I misspoke.
Yeah.
But
On grocery, just strictly on grocery, there is an effort to do that currently. It didn't pass this year, but it is being
Isn't there a petition for the consumption tax or something like that as well?
It's possible.
Yeah. But I'm a...
But the direct impact to small municipalities will be felt.
Yeah.
If the state makes it to where there is no sales tax on grocery, period.
Yeah.
Now, there was talk back a couple of months ago that they were considering allowing municipalities to keep theirs. So each municipality could have their own. And that would then drop it by 4.2%, which, I mean, if your goal is zero, that certainly is it's going down that road.
Yeah. I would vote for whatever one makes it where it, because we can't necessarily just shut everything off all at once, because then it'll go into chaos. I'm for whatever steps we can so it slowly gets to
ideal libertarian. If that's the logic, then we're so far down the hole, this road, getting back is never going to happen. So why bother?
Because I think it's more freedom is more important than that. So the farther I can move the goalpost.
So is it freedom? Okay, so let's your mind's eye, yep. I want you to envision a prison. I want you to four or five rings of cells in this big square. So I'm in the middle.
Okay.
If freedom is the goal, it ain't freedom if I've moved from the middle to the next one out. I'm still in prison. Isn't freedom breaking out, ripping the Band-Aid off?
Yeah. I would be for that, but I also know that that realistically we have to do things according to the system we have in place. So
if the system is broken, why continue to work within it? It's just like if you have a car and the engine is just crap. You got two or three cylinders that aren't working. You know what? I'm just going to fix one of these cylinders. I'm just going to put half a new head gasket in. I'm going to leave the other half out. Does the machine still operate?
No.
It just doesn't.
Yeah. I'm all for we need to walk and chew gum at the same time. So I think we need to fight in the legislature to do what we can. But the best thing we can do is everyone teach their kids, and then they teach their kids. It's a generational fight. So the best thing we can do is raise our kids so they believe in liberty and pursuing happiness and the American spirit, keeping that alive and well. That's why I always tell people, even more important than the election, keep being free and living that life that the devil wants to cancel. And then that's more important, because this will all work. We have to have firm reliance on divine providence till whatever happens, happens. It took 100 years to get where we are. It's going to take at least 25, 50 to get back. So it's a generational battle. I know I won't have a normal life, and I'm okay with that. So if I, on multiple fronts, I'm fighting to make sure that we can move the goalposts, so then the next generation can move the goalposts farther, and then in a couple generations, the ideal world that we're talking about can exist.
That's a long thought process.
Yeah.
You play chess at all?
I do not. I've been told I should, but I just never have gotten into it. But that's ultimately why I'm running, why I'm in this, because COVID opened my eyes. I've always had this way of thinking, but I thought South Dakota, we're better than everywhere else. But then when COVID happened, I saw how things were going, and I'm like, I can't just sit back anymore. So I've just come to the realization that this may be my life's calling, and it's what I'm doing.
When did you get into DJing?
My cousin got married, and my uncle and I got some of the stuff to do it. It was just a cheap set. And then we did like some family function, some friends of family stuff. And then we're like, during COVID, we're like, why don't we try to do it? So we did a couple gigs. They went good. We did a couple more gigs. They went good. And then we used the money we made to invest in better equipment. And then that brings us to now. So our Jordan River Entertainment, our marketing platform, is my uncle is a minister. Jared Jordan's his name. He's the pastor at the Spirit Lake Presbyterian Church. He will do a lot of people my age don't want to get married in a church, but the parents want them to have a religious wedding ceremony. So we bring a church service to wherever they want their wedding. And then we'll also do the dance, and it's a one-stop shop. So that's our market that we have been pursuing. And then
is it growing?
We've slowed down a little bit because I've been doing stuff like this, but we're busy enough where it's fun. So if you do it too much, it gets to be a job. We don't want it to be a job. We want it to be fun. So we're busy enough for that. And yeah, it's fun. And that's also one thing, because we're celebrating a lot of marriages. We're bringing families together. We're enjoying fellowship. A lot of things that happened during COVID or that couldn't happen during COVID. Bringing families together, encouraging the spirit, and that's what the government does not want us to celebrate. So I've been telling people during this campaign, almost everything I do, I'm trying to encourage the American spirit and the way the life the devil wants to cancel. And that's what I'm going to be doing. But yeah, it's fun.
Where, if anyone is still interested when they hear this, where should they find more info on you?
Feel free to stalk me on Facebook, Dylan Jordan, Dylan Jordan for District 4 House. I have a website, jordan4sd.com. And just look me up. You can Google my name and a couple articles and a couple forms pop up. You can look on my social media. Feel free to add me. I don't care. My so jordan4sd at 1791.com is also my email. And you can feel free to contact me, 605-520-4547 is my cell phone.
Ooh,
so
that's bold.
Yeah, it's on my info on everything. I'm transparent. I have nothing to hide. So,
well, Dylan, thanks for jumping in here at the at the last minute, really.
Yeah.
And
yeah,
again,
you asked about it, and I met you on Thursday, and I was like, I should have met him sooner. That seems like a fascinating guy to have a conversation with.
Well, I hope it was.
Yeah, it was.
I did a little reaching out to the other candidates and didn't have much luck. Vanessa, we did talk a little bit, but not enough to. Wasn't able to get that it happen.
She's out door knocking right now.
Yeah. But anyway, she holds a similar stance as you and things.
Yep. I encourage everyone to vote on June 4th.
Tomorrow.
Or whenever. Yeah. And
June 4th. Today's the
vote
3rd.
Vote for, in the House, vote for the top two, myself, Dylan Jordan, and Vanessa Napkin. We're the top two for a reason is what I've
told
people.
Top two? So you're listed at the top?
Yep.
Is that a coin flip?
Yep.
How did you guys pull that one
the
off?
I don't know. God, that's how. The Secretary of State had a live stream, and then they said my name was on top, and then Vanessa was second, and I think it's Kent and then Barbara. And, I just encourage, there's two open spots. I encourage you, we have forms online. You can look them up. You can listen to them. A couple of them are like 2 hours long. I feel you'll find that Vanessa and I lean more conservative, so if you're for... Oh, you just got a text.
Just now.
That's funny. But if you look into our issues, look us all up on social media, you will find that Vanessa and I are the most conservative, and you'll also find Fred Deutsch for the Senate is the most conservative. So if you're more conservative, vote for us. If you're more moderate, vote for the others. The good people will vote the same 70% of the time. I just think that other 30% is important. The good people, I've met them. I'll talk to them. When I see them again, I'll talk to them. They're nice people. I have nothing against them. Just we're about the mission. So I just encourage you all to go out and vote on June 4th for the constitutional ticket, which is myself, Vanessa, and Fred.
Thanks a lot for coming in.
Yeah, thank you.
Dylan Jordan, thanks for hanging out. Thanks for coming by. Thanks for knocking on my door today. I hope this was insightful for you. Again, to help you understand how these candidates think and how they will think and represent us in peer next year. Remember, theinterviewpodcast.org is our website where you can help support the show and listen to all the other conversations we've had. If you got value out of this show, I would encourage you to decide on the value that was. How much was it? Was it worth a dollar? Was it worth $10? Was it worth $500? Click on the support button. Send it back our way. All of that support is very much appreciated. Thank you so much for listening. Have a great time. And hey, don't forget to vote.